Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. A prize to be named later for our favorite answer tonight on who you share a birthday with. Somebody famous. So I've been corrected here. I was wrong about something. I think we're about accountability on the evening show. And when we're wrong, we say it. When we're right, we scream it louder than ever before. So I all these years, I thought it was Fran Drescher that was on Friends. I even said it to one of our callers earlier. It wasn't. That was a spoof of Fran Drescher, I'm being told.
Yeah, it was Maggie Wheeler. She was doing like a Fran Drescher impression.
It's pretty good. She got me. I mean, to be fair, I didn't really watch the show religiously. I've seen it like anybody else. So I just assumed that was her. But the real Fran Drescher, she was on The Nanny. That was true. We mentioned that earlier. Speaking of, actually, I don't know how this is not a real transition. I'm going to do it anyway. Before we go back to the phone lines on Girardi and I think it's time. I think it's time to move on from Joe Girardi as Phillies manager. Dave Dombrowski put out a couple quotes tonight to Scott Lauber, the Inquirer, taking the blame off of Joe for what's going on right now. He did not give the full seal of approval, though. I didn't see any sort of quote that he's the manager for the rest of the year or stop asking, but he did try to take some of the onus off him. But quickly, very important news came out today from the Philadelphia Eagles. They had their first rookie mini camp here. I saw Jordan Davis for the first time in an Eagles uniform. We got to play thumbs
what
up.
What size do you think he wears?
Larger than me.
Like 2X? 4?
2X? Five? He's 340 pounds on a good day. No. You mean like jersey or like a t-shirt?
What has more material, his jersey or the tarp they used to cover the Phillies infield?
It's probably close. What do you think? A regular t-shirt, Jordan Davis sitting down watching the game tonight. What regular t-shirt he's in?
Must be like a 4 or 5X.
It's got to be. Yeah.
I don't even know where you get that, but it has to be.
Yeah, well, wherever he gets
maybe
it.
Maybe he gets like 3 normal shirts and sews them together.
Maybe the Eagles could get him some shirts because he's going to be here for 4 years. Just sign his contract. All right, here are the rookie numbers. We got to give thumbs up, thumbs down on these. Jordan Davis, number 90. That's a big thumbs up for me. What do you think? 90 for Davis.
I like it. I would prefer 99, but that's retired, right? Yeah. That's retired for Jerome Brown. So I like 90.
Feels like a future pro bowl number to me. Cam Jurgens, number 51.
It's weird.
What do you think? Does it fit?
It sounds like a backup linebacker.
Not a future star center?
I mean, like 62 isn't anything worth writing home about. Most linemen don't get good numbers unless they get like 77 or something cool.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I would say is this is unique. So maybe if he's a star lineman, maybe this becomes a unique one we remember. Nakobe Dean, how about this? Nakobe Dean, number 17.
No.
You're out on that.
I don't like the teen numbers for non-quarterbacks.
I got to say, the Eagles have had a lot of bad luck with teen numbers in recent years. Alshon Jeffrey turned out to, obviously he was 17. Now that worked out for 10 seconds or so, or a year or so, but then it went backwards. Jalen Rager's worn 18, complete bust. What other teens have they had? Is Gainwell at 14?
Yeah, he's 14.
That's kind of weird, but he had a good rookie season. A linebacker at 17?
Like Micah Parsons wears 11. I think it looks silly.
He did wear it well, though. He played great last season. All right, Kyron Johnson, controversial now at WIP. Because Kyron Johnson is the new Ike Reese. He just took 58.
You think they told him?
Do you think he knows who Ike is?
No.
I mean, he will eventually. I mean, he will sooner than later. There's a list of WIPs that he hear Ike.
I imagine at some point, I mean, if they're doing their job, they will have him on the show. before the end of the offseason.
Right, and also, I'm sure there's something with Ike's picture in the, somewhere in the facility, right? He's got to be, in, even if he's in a picture like on a big play that Dawkins made, but Ike's there. Like,
he, like in the background.
Yeah, like he's around, 58.
Always around the ball.
Yes, and then Grant Calcaterra, number 47. I can't decide if I hate or like this one, because 47, that's like a H-back kind of number.
Like a long snapper.
Yeah.
Like your long snapper, your fullback, we're 47.
Kyle Juszczyk kind of number.
Yeah. So like Dorenbos, we're 46. Like, that's where that kind of fits in.
Jordan Davis is easily the best one. I like Kyron Johnson stealing Ike Reese's 58. That's funny.
It's a good way to stay relevant.
Sure.
Like, we wouldn't be talking about him otherwise.
Yeah. Well, of course we wouldn't. Cam Jurgens at 51 is unique but a little weird. And Tucker hates N'Kobe Dean number 17. So you won't catch Tucker around town in a Dean number 17 jersey. Jordan Davis, though, that's a great one, number 90. All right, let's go back to the phone lines here. Let's talk to Kyle, who's the King of Prussia, wants to talk about the Phillies and tell us the birthday he shares. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, Kyle. What are you thinking?
So just a quick point on Joe Girardi. I think if you've played sports and you have coaches that obviously you've liked better and coaches that you don't like as much, I think it's it's Joe's responsibility to go and stick up for these guys. Because, I mean, you go do that, then you're going to have players who want to go to bat for you, and they kind of feed off of each other. So it doesn't feel like it's there with Joe. So, I mean, a lot of other callers touched on it, so I don't want to go over it too heavily. But, yeah, I think it's about time for Joe to go. Real quick, just about the Eagles, I love what Howie's done with the draft. You were talking about how whether or not they were, rebuilt. Personally, I think they are. Obviously, there's questions with Jalen. But I think, you've seen what happened with the star quarterbacks who are being a lot more mobile. I think that it's very possible that even if Jalen doesn't work out, that we're a lot more attractive destination than we were in the past few years for a quarterback to come in and just kind of take over.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, Kyle, I think they're set up either way, right? Like, so if obviously the best case scenario would be Jalen Hurts takes a big leap and he's around for a while and as a good leader and a good young quarterback. And if he doesn't, they have the two first-round picks, so they could go draft another quarterback or they could trade for one. I think they're in a good spot. And Kyle, I just look at all the young players they have under contract for the next 3 years, receivers, offensive linemen, defensive linemen, linebackers now. They've got a lot here. I feel like it's pretty amazing how Howie went from rock bottom 2 years ago to this feels like a pretty good young team again.
Yeah, it's and I think that's just kind of how the NFL goes now, is you can kind of flip. I mean, look at the Bengals and how kind of a couple draft picks really shaped their season.
Yeah, well, you're right.
Yeah, I'm really excited for the Eagles season. And just touching on the birthdays, I got three pretty big ones. We're talking about American icons. I have Bruce, who's now Caitlyn Jenner, as one of them. And then I have the other two being Julia Roberts and Bill Gates.
Wow, that might be. I mean, we had a couple earlier. It's Sean, Kyle. Excuse me. We'll put you in the mix there. Bill Gates, Julia Roberts, and
Caitlyn Jenner.
Caitlyn Jenner. See, I mean, it was an honest mistake. I forgot the first name now.
Yeah. Also, if you're talking about the gold medal, Bruce Jenner won the gold medal.
Right, but it's the same person.
But it's the same person.
Right.
And she goes by Caitlyn now.
Yes.
But, I mean, those are three heavy, those are three A-list names.
You have a gold medalist, a great runner, and then you have an all-time actress in Julia Roberts, and then Bill Gates. Is Bill Gates the most famous name? Now, you're talking about fame. Everyone knows who Bill Gates is.
Right.
We haven't had anyone that mentioned a president yet, have we? Andrew Jackson.
And George Washington. I had George Washington.
Right, but I mean, modern day.
Like a Jimmy Carter or a Harry Truman?
Sure. I mean, is Harry Truman modern day?
Post-World War II. When does modern day start for you? Post-NFL merger?
Well, all right, so post-World War II has always been kind of the default as modern day, especially when you look up statistics for athletes, right? Like baseball.
Baseball, yeah.
But how far past World War II do we have to go until we have to move that bar up a little bit? I mean, post-World War II is also 1949. That's a long time ago. That's 71 years ago. 73 years ago almost. Actually, it is 73 years ago.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I think we have to move up what is modern. I don't know if the 40s are modern day.
Yeah, I mean, anything I don't know where else you would do it though. Like since 1970, since the start of the Super Bowl.
Is it? Do we need some sort of like famous moment as the line of like World War II is always that line of demarcation,
right?
So what would be the Vietnam War? That's kind of a weird one.
Yeah, and that's kind of like it's murky, right? Like we know when World War II ended. We don't know when Vietnam and all of that did.
Woodstock.
There you go.
Since Woodstock.
Since August of 1969. There we go. Is your favorite president.
Let's talk to Jeff in Kearney's Point. What's up, Jeff? Hey, Jeff.
How you doing tonight?
Good, Jeff. What are you thinking?
All right. I got an iconic birthday. But, yeah, Girardi's definitely got to go. The only thing that's going good right now is the Eagles draft. All the other sports teams are just terrible.
Yeah, the Eagles, it's funny, you know, 2 years ago, Jeff, the Eagles were so bad, and they were the worst team in the division, and it just blew up. And now 2 years later, they're back to being our best hope again here.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't looking forward to the draft, but I was. And then something good came out of it because I thought he was going to screw it up again. But now he came out on top. So
yeah, I mean, I love the Jordan Davis pick. And then, I mean, to get a guy like A.J. Brown, it's just you make that trade every time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So who's the birthday, Jeff?
All right. It's Albert Einstein.
Wow. Have you always known that, or did you kind of look that up? Or did you always kind of...
I've known it for a while, and only because I used to listen to the Howard Stern show, and Gary Delabate,
right,
Baba
yeah.
Booey.
Yeah, of course.
I share a birthday. That's his birthday.
So he mentioned Einstein.
And he mentioned it on the air. Albert Einstein, and ever since then, I've known it.
Yeah, that's a good one. Jeff, what's the day? What's the birthday?
March 14th.
March 14th. Jeff and Albert Einstein. Jeff, we appreciate the call. Einstein is a good one there. It is kind of funny. We're talking about the Eagles. Are they rebuilt and kind of where they're at right now? It is funny how quickly things turn. I mean, 2 years ago, when they were coming off 4-11-1, the quarterback went to the ditch. I mean, the only coach to ever win a championship here, a Super Bowl here, got fired. It felt like the Eagles were going to be bad for a while, but that, you know, their ability to turn this thing around and the draft really got everyone. I mean, I was in the other morning. I was phoning in for Angelo, and you know, Brandon Graham was nice enough to come in and hang out with myself and Al and Rhea for an hour, and I just felt it. Just talking to Brandon for an hour about football, about the draft, about A.J. Brown, about, you know, this week coming back into the facility for this part of the offseason program. I could feel a sense of, like, he's rejuvenated. Like, they're excited. The Eagles, like, there's this feeling on the Eagles, like, they're going to be good again. Like, they can build on last year. Last year wasn't some sort of just fluke because they played some bad teams down the stretch. They believe they've got something now. And the A.J. Brown deal is obviously a big part of that. And getting Jordan Davis. I mean, I was talking about Jordan Davis for weeks and weeks and weeks before the draft, that he was the guy to go get. I love it. I love that Jordan Davis is here in Philadelphia as a part of this team. Let's talk to Sean, who's in Wilmington. Hey, Sean.
How you guys doing tonight?
Good, Sean. What's up?
Oh, man. I'm going to say something real quick before I talk about my birthday and my Sixers point.
Okay.
It's N'Kobe Dean. Even though they're two different positions, can be the Carmichael at linebacker, the most tackles ever, I'll be happy.
Man, yeah, Sean, I think we all be. We'll all be happy.
doesn't Carmichael have the most receptions ever as an Eagle?
He does, yes.
Yeah, so, okay, all right, on my birthday, Martin Scorsese.
Wow, that's a big one. What day is it?
November 17th, and guess I also have somebody on my short list.
Who's that?
Danny DeVito.
Yeah, he's on every short list. Sean, we appreciate it, man. How about that? Sean's bringing the jokes. He's got DeVito on there. Martin Scorsese, it's a good one. What a career.
And it's still going, right? Like, he's still doing stuff.
That's the thing about, you know, directors. Like, they could just go. Like, an actor at some point, you know, you're not going to do the same kind of roles, right? You can't, right?
Eventually De Niro ages out, no matter how much CGI they try to put on.
Yeah, you're not the lead actor if you're 80 years old. It's just you could play a big role, and they could carve out a role for you, but it's just it changes, right? You change, your age changes. You're aged out of roles. Yeah, Scorsese could do his thing for a really long time. Let's talk to Scott, who's up on WIP. Hey, Scott.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, Scott. What are you thinking?
So Dombrowski, that statement he just issued kind of goes along with what I'm thinking, this theory that Girardi's going to step down. He's going to resign. He's a respected person, a respected figure in Major League Baseball. And I just don't think they're going to, you know, just fire him like that.
You know, Scott, you could be right. You know, that happens once in a while. I mean, teams and the coach or the manager come to like a mutual parting or something. But it could be.
Yeah.
I mean, he just it's amazing. I thought he would be rejuvenated coming here because he took time off and he was doing TV. But I don't know. Maybe Philadelphia's aged him or managing this team has aged him. Girardi looks fried to me after these games.
Yeah, well, he's going to get back on TV.
Yeah. Well, it's an easier way to make some money and be around the game for sure.
Exactly. I got the winners for the birthdays. My wife would be upset if I didn't say hers. She shares a birthday with Michael Jack Schmidt. But my birthday, December 12th, is Bob Barker from The Price is Right and Frank Sinatra.
Oh, that's a great one, too. I mean, those guys, Scott, and Scott, we appreciate the phone call. We'll get you in the mix. Those guys are American icons.
You could argue that they're the two best at what they do. Like Bob Barker's the ultimate game show host and Frank Sinatra's the ultimate American singer.
Yeah, I feel like my childhood was spent with those two maybe more than anyone outside my family. I mean, my grandfather spent a lot of time when I was a kid. All we did was listen to Frank Sinatra every single day in the car. That's all. I mean, it's just like I feel like I've heard every Frank Sinatra song a million times. And then Bob Barker, when did Bob stop doing The Price is Right? Excuse me. When did he stop doing it? It was because it's been Drew Carey for a while, right? Drew's been doing it for a decent amount of time. I don't know when Bob stopped, but I know my whole childhood he was there. I don't remember him not being
2007.
Yeah, so I was out of the right. Obviously, I was out of being a child then. I was in college in 2007. But like my whole life, whenever I had a sick day from school, I was watching The Price is Right. I was home. I was watching The Price is Right. I feel like I watched that show so often, and it's still on now with Drew Carey. That, you know, it's funny how that show it never needed to change. Like it was such a simple, like, you know, outline of the show, and it worked. It still works.
Yeah, and I don't know. It's the ultimate like comfort daytime show. Like if you're homesick from school or something, like that's what's on CBS at 11 o'clock.
It's great. I you know what? I haven't watched it in so long, and now I kind of want to do. Bill is up on WIP. Hey, Bill.
Hey, how's it going there?
Good, Bill. What are you thinking tonight?
Well, I'm thinking that I think we got to give Girardi more time, and here's why. You know, he's an American League guy, and now and for the last couple of years, he's coaching a National League team. So this whole science of coming up with the right pinch hitter at the right time, that was alien to him. Now he's in a comfort zone, the DH. Now that the DH is universal, he's used to working with the DH. I think we just got to give him some time. And I think our bats have to wake up. I mean, Reese hitting, what, a 91 right now? I mean, Reese is like my favorite Philly because he's homegrown. But come on, Reese, you got to step it up.
Yeah, he's got to be better. But, Bill, on the DH point, I mean, two of Girardi's 3 years here with the Phillies, he's had the DH because they had a DH in 2020 during the pandemic year. And then they have the DH now. I mean, it's only been 1 year without the DH. That was last year.
Well, that's true. But that was a short. You know, we had the short season, and a lot of things were different, you know. I mean, you weren't playing your normal teams, you know. It was a whole different deal.
Yeah, I know, but this isn't rocket science. Like, he should be able to figure this out.
Well, yeah, I just want to give him a little bit more time.
All right, yeah, you know, it sounds like the Phillies are going to here, Bill. And did you want to talk about them playing today? They should have played?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a light rain. Since when don't we have baseball games in light rain? I was in Philly. I mean, there's no heavy rain, so there's no reason they should not be playing baseball.
Well, it did rain all day, though. It rained all day.
It rained all day, lightly, you know. The fields, obviously the field was covered, so you uncover it and you play ball. I mean, it's a light rain. I mean, we've played hundreds and hundreds of games that have been played in light rain.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously that's true. They have played a lot in light rain. I'm like, now, Bill, we appreciate it. I'm not outside right now, and neither is Tucker. We're inside.
They never let us do the show outside.
They never.
When you were a kid, did you used to always ask your teachers to have class outside? Like if it was a nice day out?
It depended on when it was in the year.
Like mid-May, like this time of year. and it's a beautiful 70-degree day.
Yeah, well, yeah, who wouldn't want a school? Who wouldn't want a class outside? Because you know why? You feel like you don't have to do anything. It's not,
right.
It's not real class. As far as the rain goes today, I mean, I woke up today. I was trying to figure it out. Because earlier this morning, and I live in Bucks County, it wasn't raining. Like, it kept saying, I wake up every morning to walk my dog, and like it was like 6:30, and it was like 100% chance of rain. I'm like, oh, this is going to stink. And then we went out for the walk. It didn't rain at all. And then it was like 8 o'clock, and it still said it was 100% chance, and there was no rain. So I thought maybe it was one of those days. But it did rain today. Is it raining now?
I mean, the street looks really wet. I can't really tell. There's a lot of water underneath us, but that's a river. So that's always there.
Yeah. I mean, could they have played? Maybe. Do you think the Phillies just asked for a day off today?
Didn't they do that last year? Was that 2 years ago? Remember the day they, like, called it? And they're like, oh, it's going to be a thunderstorm.
And it didn't
we can't
rain.
Play today because we don't have a starting pitcher.
It was sunny that night.
And, yeah, it was and you were mad. You were angry that you had to come into work.
Well, because today was not a big deal because from last night, Tucker and I were talking about, like, we were doing a show tonight. Like, we kind of recognized the weather forecast. I was frustrated that night, whatever year that was, because, like, I just wasn't, we weren't ready. Like, we're not doing leading off into a game? What are we doing here? All right, we'll be on, but it doesn't make any sense. Deborah is up on WIP. Hey, Deborah.
Hey.
Hey, Deborah. You are up. We got you up. I made sure. Deborah, what are you thinking tonight? What's on your mind?
First off, I want to say it's not my birthday, but my husband's birthday falls on January 8th. Elvis Presley and David Bowie, born on the same day.
Wow, I never knew those two were born on the same day. That's music royalty on the same day.
Seriously, that's icon.
Is your husband a musician?
Kind of, sort of. He did grow up. He also played baseball. He's 70 now, so he don't play anything.
Yeah, well, that's okay. But I got to figure if you're born on that day, there's got to be some sort of music in your bones like those two. That's a great one.
Yes, my father and my brother, and, well, not me, but kind of, sort of. My father was, too. But I will say something about you guys bitching on the Phillies today. It's early in the season. I'm not a Phillies fan. I'm a Mets fan, okay? But y'all need to give them a chance. It's still early.
Well, Deborah, it is early. It's not super early though, and you know your team is 7 games up on ours right now, so we're frustrated here.
One game. You know Mets history, right?
Well, I mean, I remember 2007, 2008. I know there's a lot of Mets Phillies history, Deborah.
Yes, and also Embiid. Like I've been sitting here on hold. I haven't been able to watch the game. I don't think he should have started today if he did.
Yeah, well, you know what? He's obviously taking a risk trying to be a team player. And, Deborah, we appreciate the birthdays there. A Mets fan, is she patronizing us, telling us to calm down?
Isn't that weird? Like, when someone drives up next to you with, like, a Lamborghini, and they're like, oh, that's all right. That taco trucker driving's okay. It's fine. Don't worry about it. This piece of crap sucks.
She even kind of threw in that the Mets always find a way to collapse. Bad things happen to the Mets, which I get, a fatalist attitude. Mets fans have that.
I mean, we kind of have that a little bit, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's not teams that win World Series left and right. I mean, that's the reality of both the franchises, the Mets and the Phillies. But right now, the Mets are better. I mean, anyone in this area that's denying that, you're just lost. I mean, the Mets are a better team right now. They're beating the crap out of the Phillies. I mean, what have they beaten them now? Is it 5 out of 7? I believe it's 5 out of 7. So far this season, the Mets have won, and they'll play, weather permitting, tomorrow. 215-592-9494. Let's grab Andy, who is in Newark. What's up, Andy?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Andy. What's up?
I really appreciate y'all taking my call. Listen, it's funny, that guy talking about playing. I'm driving right now. It's pouring down rain. And I know it rains hard here, there, everywhere, and light here, there, and everywhere. But let's not go back. We can go back to about 93 when we had a doubleheader that started against San Diego. And
right.
Went through a couple rain delays, and then it went through a really long rain delay, and then they decided they're going to go ahead and play.
That was the game that went to like 4 o'clock in the morning, right?
Yeah, and the funny part was my buddy and I always loved doubleheaders. We went down there, went to the game, but we didn't actually get there on time because it was pouring down rain, so we went to happy hour. And if I'm not mistaken, that was on a Friday. And we left there and decided to go to another watering hole in the area. And we left to go home, and here comes Harry Kay on the radio saying they're getting ready to start back up. So we pulled in right up underneath the stadium, you know, parked underneath there and went right on inside, right over the dugout, and we heckled them guys to no ending, you know. But it was a blast being there. So I don't think they can do that again. And, of course, with the rain, you can't do that, you know.
It'd no, cool yeah. Could. And you know what? I think most people would rather not sit out in the cold and the rain all night long. Andy, who do you share a birthday with?
Oh, listen, it's funny. The lady took my stuff earlier about being a Targe, and she said Billy Joel. But I do have three others. I have Candace Bergen, Demi Moore, and Mr. Padre himself from San Diego. And I'm sure you can figure out who
Tony
that is.
Gwynn, of course, yes, Mr.
Sir.
Padre. That's the late it. Tony Gwynn. Tony Gwynn was,
yeah. But anyway, like you say, you know, and I was just telling Tucker, I said, now, why is it we're such a jinx city, you know, in Philly that, I mean, I'm fortunate enough to see six championships, you know, Flyers winning both of them and, you know, and then the others, you know, the Sixers, you know, the Phillies twice, and of course the Birds. And but anyway, you know, getting back to the birthday, yeah, I'll be 60 on Monday. So
well, Andy, happy early birthday. Have a great birthday weekend, man. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it. You all have a great weekend. Thanks again for taking the call.
You got it, Andy. Andy in Newark, about to turn 60. It's a big birthday. And sharing a birthday there. 215-592-9494. We'll get everyone up on the birthdays. I believe it's time for the Phillies to move on from Joe Girardi. And we will bring you Nick Sirianni spoke today. Rookie minicamp. Jordan Davis, number 90. N'Kobe Dean, number 17. Kyron, the new linebacker in the sixth round, stealing Ike Reese's number 58. I'm not sure if Sirianni commented on those. But you hear what he had to say, including a question that came in about the 3-4 versus the 4-3. Would Sirianni comment on what kind of defense the Eagles are going to run here in 2022? That's all coming in your phone calls. 215-592-9494 on Sports Radio 94 WIP. And let me tell you about my friends over at Insperity. Business owners, are you feeling the pressure of running your business? There's a limit to what you could do and still keep employees engaged. Insperity can help. They put 30-plus years of HR experience to work, helping you with hiring, training, HR administration, and compliance, while giving your employees competitive benefit options. Because you're able to focus on the priorities, your employees can thrive and your business can grow. With Insperity, nothing seems impossible. Full-service HR, employee benefits, HR technology, Insperity. HR that makes a difference.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. We'll talk to Bob Wankel of Crossley Broad coming up top of the hour on the Phillies. On Joe Girardi, what comes next? If you just hopped in the car, we've been talking about the idea of it's time to fire Joe Girardi. I'm out. I'm done. I'm moving on from Joe Girardi. The Phillies obviously are not yet. He's here. They didn't have a, you know, they didn't fire him today. I don't imagine it's going to happen tomorrow. And Dave Dombrowski tonight, quotes in the Philadelphia Inquirer, Dombrowski kind of absolved Girardi of some blame. Now, he did not go as far as to say he's the manager for the rest of the year no matter what, but he did say this is not on Joe, this is not all on Joe. It feels to me like the Phillies are trying to calm down this, us, everyone from talking about this and try to settle things down for the next couple of weeks, but I still don't believe that unless something drastic changes, that Girardi's safe for the rest of the season. 215-592-9494 to hop in on Girardi. And when you call in for our prize to be named later contest tonight, give us the...
You know what I think it should be?
Oh, you have ideas?
I think we should send TK to their house and he'll cook for them.
Yeah, I mean, Howard used to do that. Didn't, like, breakfast with Howard Eskin or something? I feel like that used to be a prize. Especially when we like Eagles Radiothon, right?
How much Howard could you handle before like 10 a.m.?
Yeah, you know, we ride with the king here.
Like, I mean, if you want a brunch or a mid-afternoon snack with Howard Eskin, I'm all for that.
So you're not inviting, you don't want Howard at your place?
I just don't want to roll over at 8:30 in the morning and have him standing there with a plate of waffles.
How about pancakes?
No.
Okay, well, I'd rather the pancakes, but I'm generally with you. We probably should wait till later in the day. But we used to do that kind of. They used to be a prize. I don't know if that's back because this was like a pre-COVID thing. You know, like you invite strangers in your house. I'm not sure if we do that again.
Yeah, like Radiothon, like have the morning show come to your house.
Well, they did just a couple weeks ago. Not house, but weren't Marks and Reese at like a restaurant in Maniac?
The restaurant in Maniac.
Yeah, so I guess things are back. So yeah, I mean, I don't know if he's up for this, but we could send Tom Kelly out to your house. He's not. Yeah, he's.
What do you think he's good at cooking?
Grilled cheese.
He's shaking his head. Doesn't even know how to grill cheese.
You can't mess up a grilled cheese. You put some butter on the pan. You're good. Just put it on there. All right, Drew is up on WIP. Hey, Drew.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good, Drew. What are you thinking tonight, man?
So, sadly, I agree with you on Joe Girardi, the guy that mentioned Larry Bowa a while ago. I've always been a big Larry Bowa fan. I know he had his chance. What was it, probably 15 years ago or so, or 10 years ago. But, you know, I think it's time to try him again if he's willing. He certainly was motivational, maybe pissed a lot of people off, but, you know, he might be able to light a fire under their butts.
Yeah, I mean, normally I would say the age and it's probably time has passed, but the one thing on your side of this, Drew, if he's interested, is he's around the team, right? Like, he's not a stranger. These guys know him, spring training. He's still part of the organization, so... Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's out of the realm. I do think Jim Leland, because all the experience he has with you know, with Dombrowski in Miami and Detroit, I think he's older too. He's 77, but I think his name would come up if this actually happened.
Yeah, I'd be pretty happy with him as well.
Yeah.
But sadly, I do think and the guy mentioned or the guy a little bit ago mentioned the DH and all that stuff with Joe, but his big problem is also the bullpen.
Right.
If he doesn't have much of a bullpen, but you know, he's got to be able to at least do a little bit better with the switches and everything else. So, you know, sadly, I think it's time for him to go.
Yeah, it feels like it. And it feels like if they don't, this season's going to slip away. Drew, who do you share a birthday with?
So you had mentioned the modern era. To me, first, I would say it's probably like the internet on, you know, the mid-90s, dot-com bubble, all that stuff, to now as like when the internet started to rule our lives, that's kind of the modern era, to me at least.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to look at it. I mean, certainly the world changed and information changed and the way we talk about things changed. I mean, everything changed.
Everything. So I have two normal birthdays. One's Jerry Rice and Paul Simon. You know, they're not going to be too famous or anything, but I have the illustrious pleasure of sharing one birthday or my birthday with the one and only infamous in this town, Glenn Rivers.
Oh, no. You share a birthday with Glenn?
I do.
When is you're in Glenn's birthday?
It's October 13th.
Okay. Well, you know what? I hope Glenn is not coaching the Sixers. Oh, actually, you know what? If he's coaching them, it means they went far and they got it maybe to the Eastern Conference Finals. But yeah, my guess is he's not coaching the Sixers on his next birthday.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that as well.
Yeah, Drew.
My at least fallback is the guy mentioned he had twin boys or twins that had two
birthdays.
Different
days. Yep.
My twin boys were born on the 4th of July.
Wow, so that's a cool birthday to have, the 4th of July.
It's a fantastic birthday. My mom, or my wife cannot yell at me about any of the fireworks I light off because, you know, it's for their birthday.
Right. It's a celebration. Come on. This is their birthday.
Exactly.
It's a special day. Drew, appreciate the phone call. That's a good call there. Sharing a birthday with Glenn Rivers.
And Paul Simon.
Yeah.
I always say Doc Rivers is the Paul Simon of NBA coaches.
He's not the Jerry Rice of NBA coaches. That is for sure. A couple callers ago when someone mentioned that Girardi needs some more time to adapt to the DH. I mean, again, this is not rocket science. Like, what are we adapting to?
Also, he did it for a decade in New York. And even the other way. Like, we hear people say, well, now the DH is back, he's okay. I mean, the guy caught in the National League for like 15 years.
Right. Also, his first year here was a DH. The 60-game season, they had
right.
a DH. He's only managed
only
one
last year he didn't have a DH.
Yeah. I mean, again, this is not that hard. I mean, managers jump divisions. They jump teams. I mean, this happens all the time. None of this is like, how could he get by? He'll figure it out. Let's talk to Doug in Norristown. What's up, Doug?
Hi, how you doing? Great show as always.
Thank you, Doug. What's on your mind tonight?
I have birthdays, a prediction, and Phillies, if I may.
Yeah, go for it.
First, I have four birthdays, Joe. I have Nelson Mandela, John Glenn, Richard Branson, and the Greek Freak.
Wow, John Glenn and the Greek Freak. Those two, you couldn't
and
have
Mandela.
Two more different people. And Nelson Mandela. You got the whole scope of fame there.
And if you want a business tycoon, you could go Richard Branson. So,
yeah.
That's mine. In terms of the Sixers, I know there's, you know, a caveat. And I know it's only game three, but I've said it all year, Joe. If they stay healthy, in my opinion, they're going to the Eastern Conference Finals. I know they're down 2-0, but look, even this game, look how he opens up the floor for everyone. I mean, Joe, you take anybody away, right, the MVP from a team. You take Curry, you take Tatum, you take Morant. How many of those teams are going to win their current series?
Not many. Now, I think when you get to this round, it becomes tougher. Like last round, Dallas was able to get themselves in good shape even without, Luka, but that was a first-round series. Once you get to this round, it's very difficult to win without your best player. Very difficult.
So they're opening up the floor. And I was doing some research before I called Joe, and I'm more on board with you about Girardi. Truth be told, when they hired him, I thought it was a great signing, and, you know, with his pedigree. But like you said, it's been a long time. And even his last 5 years as a Yankee manager, a lot of people may not realize that, but he was only a little above 500.
Yeah, and you know, Doug Tucker brought up something earlier that he has not won a division title since 2012. I mean, that's a decade. I mean, and I know the Rays were good and the Red Sox were good at for moments in that stretch when he was with the Yankees, but it's still stark to hear that. Like, he hasn't won a division in 10 years.
Right, because they had 1 year in the 5 year stretch, 91. That was his most, Joe, in that last 5 years. He averaged about 85 wins.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I heard him as a baseball analyst, and I thought he was a good baseball analyst, but that being said, I think your point is right on. If nothing else, in the last 3 years, how far has this bullpen come?
It's still bad. I mean, it's amazing. And they've changed the characters. Doug, we preached the phone call. If it was the same group, like people would call into. I first started criticizing Girardi for his bullpen usage here in 2020. And everyone was like, well, he's got the worst bullpen of all time. All right. Some of those guys, you know, they moved on and they kept pitching. You know, they weren't like, they're not in independent leagues now. Like, they went on to pitch again in Major League Baseball. They were not good, but they weren't historically bad. I question his usage of relievers. Last year, most blown saves in history. It was a different bullpen cast. They still stunk. This year, 25th in bullpen ERA, different cast. Like, at some point, who's the guy choosing when they go in and who they face? You got to look to that. Scott in Abington. Hey, Scott.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Scott.
Hey, I want to agree with Drew earlier on Charlie, I think, is where he was going.
Yep.
And because I think that when you have a veteran club like this, and, you know, there aren't too many, you know, spring chickens on the team. Charlie could actually manage them really well, and I can't imagine Charlie having the kind of attention span you need to plow through analytics. So he'll be giving stuff more of the eye test, which is really what we all want. And it's the perfect guy as an interim because you know he's not going to do it for long. So you ride it out a little bit and you say there's an active search going on otherwise. And if he goes through the whole year, you know, we could probably get a little bit more success than we're getting now at least. Nobody's going to complain. Plus, he's already in town. He's still part of the organization. That's why I think he's a better choice than Jim Leyland. I think Jim Leyland 10 years ago would have been fantastic, but not now.
Yeah, I just wonder about the Dombrowski part of this, right? Because those two are so close and they worked together so many years in different spots. I would feel like Dombrowski would place that first phone call to Leyland, but if he said no, yeah, I'm sure the Charlie thing would come out pretty soon after. Scott, who do you share a birthday with?
Well, you're going to think that this is a joke, okay, because all of my shared birthdays are basically legends. So from a more modern perspective, say 1980, that guy who used to be an actor and became president, Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, of course.
And then we got Babe Ruth, Axl Rose, Tom Brokaw, Zsa Zsa Gabor, Eva Braun. I mean, it's just a list of historical legends.
What is this, early February? Is that when your birthday is?
February 6th.
Yeah, I did a book report or like some, when I was like the second or third grade, I did the whole thing. I read Babe Ruth's biography. I remember that, February 6th, yeah.
While listening to some Bob Marley.
Yes.
It's a great day. Great day.
Scott, that's a good one, man. I appreciate it. Yes, Babe Ruth birthday on February 6th. Yeah, so a couple callers ago mentioned he thinks the modern era should be internet on. Here's why I can't go with that. Because then, like, players I watched growing up, they played pre-modern era.
When does it start, right? Like, we talked about post-World War II. Like, I don't think the day after World War II ended, everyone went, okay, everything that happened before doesn't exist anymore. We're starting fresh.
I mean, I do think at some point, eventually we're going to move the bar. I think we did something for society tonight. Like,
there should be something between World War II and the internet era. Like, the internet should be the next bar, but I feel like we're 30 years away from that happening.
I just feel like you and I are the first people to discuss this. Like, we've opened the discussion of we have to move the modern
era.
Yeah,
there's nothing else going on in the world right now that we can't have this honest debate in you know, higher circles.
Yeah, like, when should we move the start of the modern era from post-World War II to when? Now, our caller mentioned the idea of the internet. Now, first of all, when does the internet start?
Oh, like, early 90s?
That's a big gap in between there. And again, that means...
I mean, that's a 50-year gap.
Yeah, no, there's got to be something in between. We mentioned Woodstock. I guess that didn't catch on. I don't know what it is. I do think... No, but I do think at some point down the line, the beginning... People might look at the internet era as the beginning of the modern era, but that's not today. I mean, that was only 30 years ago or whatever. That's not a long time.
Yeah, I mean,
ago.
We should be doing that 50 years down the line when you and me are riding with the king.
Right, when WIP's calling us to come back, like Charlie Manuel, Larry Bowen, I'm like, nah, I'm down. And Tucker's like, yeah, I'll come back and host with Howard, who's how old then? 100-something?
Yeah, like 105, yeah, maybe somewhere in that range.
Something like that. All right, we promised you Nick Sirianni. Let's bring this to you. Nick Sirianni, earlier today, meeting with the media after the sort of rookie minicamp. Good to hear from the head coach. What did I say about these new players? Is this team going to play 3-4-4-3? Here is Sirianni earlier this afternoon.
Nick, fire away.
Nick, who stood out to you today at practice?
You know, I'm just happy that we're all in there together, working again. I'm not going to get into who I thought stood out. We're excited about the guys that are here, both, you know, every guy that's here, right? No matter if it's a first-round draft pick, second-round draft pick, third-round draft pick, free agent, tryout guys, we're excited just to get our eyes on these guys and watch them. You know, that's the first day, and they got another day coming up tomorrow, and we just look forward to continuing to evaluate them.
You mentioned N'Kobe's enthusiasm on the phone after you guys drafted him. Did you feel that from him today? Did you have that?
Yeah, you know, I can sense he's all ball all the time. You know, whether we're in a meeting or out in the field, he's locked in. So you definitely felt that from him, we knew that about him coming into, you know, before we'd even drafted him. So he definitely showed that today, and he showed that yesterday in our meetings.
Nick, I know you mentioned during the scouting process, when it comes to defensive players, your role is kind of to give the offensive perspective. So when it comes to Jordan Davis and N'Kobe Dean, what was your perspective on what it's like as an offensive coach to deal with guys like that?
Yeah, good luck blocking Jordan. He's pretty big. You know, he can push the pocket. Eat up double teams where they can't get off to the second part of the back to the linebackers. with N'Kobe. Just he's got great instincts and he's all over the field. Like, you know, he's where he's supposed to be when he's supposed to be there. And you got to account for that as an offense.
What did you like about Carson Strong to add him to the group?
Yeah, you know, I thought he did a good job today of just, you know, that's a lot. He's reading plays differently. He's running different plays to have to go back there and manage everything. One thing that I'm always impressed by or not impressed by is when a guy can come out and just call play, because there's a lot of guys that don't call plays, right? They're looking to the sideline. And we call plays in the huddle. So he was pretty smooth with that. That means he studied hard. He got ready, for this day today. And so he was really sharp. He knew what to do. He knew where to go with the football. He got a big arm, and you definitely can see that. But it's, you know, so we're just – those are tools to work with. And his size and his arm strength is noticeable when he's out there.
I know you're going to show a lot of blows, obviously, defensively, but is your base defense going to be a 4-3 or a 3-4?
Yeah, there's a lot of other teams that are going to want that answer too. I'll just put that out right now that I'll never answer that. You guys will figure that out when we play the first game.
What do you want to? It's a short window, obviously, Nick. But what do you want to accomplish in these 2 days with the young players?
You know, the main thing is that they show us what they can do. I've instructed the coaches to be very basic in their installs, to not do a lot. So they can go out there and they can show us what they can do. That's what we want to see. Obviously, I want these guys talking to each other, connecting, right, getting in tune with what we believe in, our core values, all those things off the field, learning our systems. But really, these 2 days are about what they can do and finding out who sticks out. And you know, he asked me the question earlier, but, you know, Elliot asked me a question earlier, but just, you know, who sticks out, what they can do, and that's really what it is. And so but the main thing on our end as coaches is to not do too much, not want to be, hey, I want to see this guy and this or this guy and that. Just see what they can do in individual drills, see what they can do in some team drills, see what they can do in some one-on-one drills, so we can continue to evaluate these guys in person.
Hey, Nick, what's the reason that you moved on from Nate Herbig when you did?
We got a pretty deep room right there, and Nate did an unbelievable job as far as being able to step in and play in some very important moments. He gave us some really good reps, really good play in some meaningful games. But you know, we have a deep room right there. I won't get into any personnel decisions right now at this particular time, but I can't thank Nate enough for all the things that he contributed to this program in the first year and the years that he's been here. And again, like I said, he's a great teammate. The Jets are going to be glad to have him, and I'm happy for him that he landed on his feet, because, like I said, he gave us a lot of good minutes last year.
If I could take you back a little bit. At the conclusion of, or I guess maybe it was during the Bucks loss, Troy Aikman had some criticisms about, and just not you in particular, but maybe later on I heard him say this, he said it's about coaches maybe over-scheming things when they have players of Devontae Smith's ability to just win one-on-one. And, you know, obviously with the addition of A.J. Brown, you have another guy who can win one-on-one. Is that something that got back to you, or is that something you're always cognizant of as you're building the playbook and drawing up your game plans, about relying too much on scheme versus just kind of like backyard ball?
There's definitely a happy medium there that you can't just go out there, lay the ball out there and say, roll, you know, go, you guys go, just go get open, right? Then there's no structure at all. But then again, you don't want to do too much. So there's definitely, you know, we do our best to put our players in the position to make plays. And that doesn't always mean like, well, we're trying to scheme him up to be wide open. And sometimes it's like, how do we scheme it up where he's one-on-one in these scenarios? So, that's what we're constantly trying to do. Like I said, put our players in position to make plays. And sometimes that is like getting them wide open. Sometimes it is, hey, you got to beat this guy one-on-one. So, that's just what we try to do on a consistent basis.
The fact that both Jordan and N'Kobe played together for so long at Georgia, were you able to kind of see, you know, the familiarity they have with each other? And do you think that'll, like, ease their transition in the NFL?
Yeah, most definitely. I think that's just one less thing, you know, with N'Kobe behind Jordan, kind of getting them, helping them get lined up, making the call in the huddle. Yeah, that's a, you know, there's so many new things that they're trying to get used to right now, right? So that's definitely one last thing. You know, here he's heard so many calls of N'Kobe making the call in the huddle and then him executing the call. So, yeah, of course, any familiarity like that's definitely going to help. And it's rare. I mean, it's rare that you get two guys from the same team on a team just because there's so many teams pick, 32 teams picking and everything like that. So, yeah, we're definitely excited that – in many different ways, right? You go to a new place and you have a familiar face to be able to talk to, you know, and everything like that. So it's not just on the football side, but it's off the field as well.
There's a lot of DBs that you brought in this week. And does that speak to sort of the unsettled nature of that CB2 position?
CB2. I like that. You're right. You know, at this, right, what we were trying to do, like we're wanting to run 7-on-7 reps, and you have to have volume there for the guys. Like these guys are, we know these guys right now are not in football shape, right? This is really a little bit rare, right? And when you bring a rookie, it's always our experience in rookie camp. You bring them in, they've been training for the draft, they've been training for the combine, they've been training to run a 40, they've been training for the position drills a little bit. They're not truly in football shape right now. So we have to be very careful about how we manage these guys in practice right now. So you're not going to see everything you want to see in a guy right now because, again, they're not in football shape. So when we do our 7-on-7 reps, we want to have enough for a 2-deep to be able to rotate the guys, right? So they're not running too many plays in a row and they can go out there. So, again, like you asked me earlier, what's the main goal? To see what they can do, right? And so that's the volume a little bit speaks to, hey, we got to have enough numbers to be able to execute and to be able to see what guys can do. And so that's a little bit. Of course, you know, we feel good about the guys in the room that we have right now. And some of the guys that are coming in that we've invited into this camp, drafted free agents, everybody that we brought into the rookie mini camp. So I feel good about that room and about the position battles that are going to take place and that are taking place right now in our meetings and in our weight room. I'm excited to see how that plays out.
As a follow-up on the offseason program, if memory serves, last year's arrangement included no 7-on-7, no 11-on-11s. Are you going to be doing that this year, or will it be more traditional OTA practices?
We're definitely doing 7-on-7s. We're transitioning away a little bit more from 11-on-11s this year. We're not going to see those this year. But I think you guys know we have 2 weeks of OTAs. We looked forward to getting a lot of good work done in there with our individual, get a lot of individual where we can work on our fundamentals. And then we'll be doing 7-on-7 because we know that's going to help our skill guys and our quarterback, making those reads and the different looks that he's going to get.
Have you had full attendance here for
workouts? Yeah, we've had really good attendance. I don't know if it's been perfect every single day, but we've had really good attendance through the first 2 weeks.
We talked to Jalen earlier in the week. You had mentioned he was going out to Southern California. He said that as well. Kind of interested in how you guys worked that out. Are you a part of that process? Is that him doing it on his own? How do you guys connect when it comes to...
Yeah, it's different. And again, I've had quarterbacks go out there that I had nothing to do with it, and then I've had quarterbacks go out there that I have. And with this particular case, Jalen and I worked together, and Brian and Shane worked together to set this up. Because that was something that he was interested in doing that we were interested in doing. So yeah, it was a group effort, like a lot of the things that we do here, right? When we game plan, group effort, this was a group effort. So it was fun to kind of organize that and together and to be able to work, to get him out to Southern California to throw.
When you guys do start OTAs, depending on the veterans who are here, how important is that going to be, for a guy like Fletch, for example, to, mentor Jordan Davis, Kelsey with Cam Jurgens.
Trying to catch me in that the mentor thing right now. Go ahead. Keep going.
How much will be really more important for the veterans this year to kind of help bring these guys along?
I just think it's important for the team in general to be around each other. You know, the guys, I watch these guys when I'm seeing them from afar. I'm not in the weight room right now, but you know, because that's their time with the strength coach right now. But just seeing it from afar, seeing different things, hearing how they react or they're interacting with each other, it's just important that they're around their teammates right now. You know, this is a time for them just to build connections. Sometimes it's hard in the season to build the connections. You're so focused on the game and the next thing. Now, we work like crazy to do it, but it seems like there's a little bit more time now. They work out, they go to meetings, and then they have time the rest of the day to connect with each other. And so that's definitely something that we notice, that these guys really are working to connect at this time, you know, and help each other out. I think we just have a great group of guys that truly, genuinely like being around each other and truly want to help each other out. And I see that every day.
What was Brandon's reaction when you got AJ Brown?
I always like to keep Frank and I's conversations private. So I don't know what he'd say. I'm sure he was happy. He's not in the division anymore, though. So I know that if that would have happened when I was in the division, I would have texted the coach and said thank you for getting him out of the division, or I would have sent him a keg of beer or something. You know.
Hey, Brandon Graham said about Derek Barnett. He talked to him about when he returned. Like, you know, Derek wants to show that he can play, wants to show the fans. I mean, what have your conversations been like with him? And, you know, what's his mentality been like?
I think Derek is a guy that ever since I've gotten here, I just see the same guy every single day that's determined every single day to get better, to work at his craft. He's obsessed with football. Derek is obsessed with football and trying to become the best player he can. And I really appreciate that with him. He works hard. He works hard in the classroom. He works hard in the weight room. He works hard. He works extremely hard on the field. And I just see the same guy every single day. And I'm excited that we have him back on this football team to continue to add depth to that defensive line. I really think we're in a good spot with the defensive line. I'm really excited about that group. And I'm really excited to have Derek Barnett back on this football team.
All right. Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, everybody.
Good hearing from head coach Nick Sirianni today. A couple of things stood out to me. The 3-4-4-3, you wouldn't give a straight answer on that. The Eagles would be very multiple. I think more 3-4 after talking to Brandon Graham a couple days ago. And then just you could hear the excitement that Sirianni has for these guys and this rookie class that they brought in here. And I can't wait to watch Jordan Davis. I saw some pictures of him tonight out. Like, I mean, it's just a mountain of a man. I can't wait to watch that guy play. And then how about the idea of Frank Reich saying thank you, or the idea of them joking about that, for getting A.J. Brown out of the AFC South. He's here now and with the Eagles. All right, a lot more to do on the show. 215-592-9494. Get everyone up. Who is the celebrity or famous person you share a birthday with? I want Girardi out. We'll talk to Bob Wankel as well coming up this next hour. Bob Wankel crossing broad on the Phillies, on the issues, on Rhys Hoskins, and what Bob thinks about Joe Girardi's status as the manager of the team. Up next on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.